You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Mikey's Indy 500. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, welcoming you back to my race through the independent scene, where I'll be watching 500 independent wrestling matches in the year 2020, and I'm so glad you're all joining me on this journey. Remember to send your match suggestions in to hashtag HTB500 at HitTheBooksPod on Twitter. Let me know what matches I should review next. So, for this 10, we got quite the mishmash of matches here, but we are starting off with a little bit of deja vu here. We have for the second time, David Starr versus Jordan Devlin from OTT. If you remember last week, I did review their match from Homecoming, which got 4.5 stars from me. But this time, I am reviewing their match from 5th year anniversary for the OTT World Championship. And guys, this match was a banger. If you watch it on YouTube, they start you off with a little bit of a promo in the beginning. And it just shows off how personal this rivalry is and how amazing both of these guys are. Here's a clip.
I am here to save independent professional wrestling. Jordan, this is so much bigger than you and me.
I am sick of you running your mouth about your little independent movement. October 26th, I'm going to shut your mouth once and for all.
I am now the import killer, and you are the import, Jordan.
There is only one import killer.
Winning the OTT World Championship because I'm fucking destined to.
This match was awesome. It starts off with a big fight feel when Jordan Devlin enters and then security enters the ring and just cuts it in half. So you have David Starr on one end, a line of security, and Jordan Devlin on the other side. And they're just staring each other down through this wall of security. And that immediately starts off and gives it this very big fight feel, and it's so cool to just experience. This match starts off hot. They just go right at each other, as I knew they would, because these two hate each other. So, it starts off hot, and it never stops. The crowd is even hot. The crowd, oh my god, the crowd is electric this whole match. They do not sit down for the entirety of it. It's crazy. It definitely helps you feel how awesome this match is. And it's really crazy because in his I'm pretty sure fifth year anniversary was in Jordan Devlin's home city of Dublin, Ireland, and the crowd was against him. Jordan Devlin was almost a heel in this match, which is crazy to think because David Starr is in this match, and he is one of the biggest heels in all of wrestling. So that's pretty crazy, but the crowd seems to be on David Starr's side for this one. We the Independent. There is an awesome moment in this match where David Starr and Jordan Devlin agree to a bout of just fisticuffs where they just punch the crap out of each other, and David Starr ends up busting open Jordan Devlin, getting blood on his hands. He looks at his hands. Jordan Devlin's blood all over him, and what does David Starr do? He licks the blood right off of his hands. What a visual it was. It was gross, but like, just the metaphor of that was so cool. Yeah, there's one point where the OTT belt gets involved, where both of the guys are planning to hit each other with it, but none of them end up doing it, and this ends up to the ref getting distracted by pulling away the belt from David Starr, and while the ref is distracted, he glow blows Devlin, and they both just fight until the end. And David Starr at one point teases that he's going to hit the pedigree, because I believe this is after Devlin signed with WWE, so that was definitely interesting. But in the end, David Starr ends up winning the match with a lariat from hell and becoming the new OTT World Champion. I gave this match 5 spicy meatballs out of 5 because the emotion was there. I couldn't take my eyes off the action. The action never stopped. And these guys put on a clinic of a wrestling match. And I love both of them. I love this feud so much. All right, moving on. Next up, we have a match from Defiant Wrestling. We have Will Ospreay versus Ricochet in the semifinals of the Pro Wrestling World Cup. And this match was pretty cool. The one qualm I had of this match was that it didn't really show off Will Ospreay as much as I would have hoped. It was more of a very one-sided victory on Ricochet's part. And I wasn't too into it. I would much rather see a crazy back and forth match with a definite winner than one person dominating the other and then the other just getting in little bouts of offense here and there. At one point, Ospreay reverses a move from Ricochet into a roll-up and ends up getting the win off of that, which I thought was interesting because it kind of showed that Ricochet may have gotten a little too cocky in this match, even though he was dominating the whole time, and Ospreay took advantage of one small window of opportunity, ends up pinning Ricochet with a roll-up. Like I said, this match was fine. If you're looking to get into Will Ospreay, I wouldn't really watch. I'd be okay with skipping it, because it doesn't really show off. It's more of a show for Ricochet, and Ospreay just kind of hangs in there the whole time. But it was still cool. The match was still fun. So I gave it 3 spicy meatballs out of 5. I enjoyed it. Next up, we have another match from Defiant Wrestling, and it's actually the Pro Wrestling World Cup Finals. And it is Will Ospreay, again, versus Kushida. So, Ospreay had to wrestle this match in the same night he wrestled Ricochet, and I just had to watch them both. I had to watch the finals, see how it went, especially when I knew he was going against Kushida, who I think is really cool. And this match on the is a complete antithesis of the other one, because you get to see both competitors at their strongest this match. They both just beat the absolute crap out of each other. They go absolutely crazy. They start off fast. There's a bunch of reversals in the beginning, and it's just so cool to watch these two work. They're both incredible competitors, and it was almost like Kushida was playing the heel in this match, but there was no real heel in this match because everyone loved both of the competitors, which I did too. I was happy either way because they were both putting on a wonderful, wonderful match. There is one point where B. Priestley interferes, who those who don't know is Will Ospreay's girlfriend, I believe, and she brings in the belt that Kushida, one of the belts that Kushida came in with, which I believe was a Ring of Honor belt or an IWGP belt. I'm not 100% sure. And she gives it to Ospreay to hit Kushida with it, and Ospreay says no. And he says he gets Bree Priestley out of the ring. He wants to do it all by himself. Oh, that was really cool. And I thought that was a really good show from Will Ospreay. Kushida ends up kicking out of a big Avalanche Ozcutter from the top rope and ends up winning the match with a Back to the Future on Ospreay and becomes the Pro Wrestling World Cup and becomes the winner of the Pro Wrestling World Cup. And at the end, Ospreay hands the cup to Kushida and shakes his hand. And that was a really nice visual to end the whole moment. So yeah, I gave this match 4.5 meatballs out of 5 because I thought it was really fun to watch. I thought it was really cool, a really good showcase of both of these competitors, and I am super into it, and I can't wait to watch more of Kushida. Next up, we have a match from Riptide Wrestling where Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and Jimmy Havoc are in a triple threat tables match. And the way that this triple threat tables match works is that the first person to put someone through a table 2 times is the winner. This match was super cool because it was very interesting to see Jimmy Havoc in this setting with Matt Riddle and Keith Lee, who are two like incredible athletes, and Jimmy Havoc is just this well, he's known as this deathmatch guy, but he holds his own in this match for sure. to start off this match, Jimmy Havoc brings a table in, jumps up to the top rope, and then jumps through the table, putting himself through the table, thinking he won the match because he thought it was a tables match, so first person to put someone through a table wins. Jimmy put himself through the table, hoping to win the match, but that hasn't started yet. That was pretty funny. It was a good moment for sure. Here's a clip.
Jimmy, it's the first man to put two others through a table.
What? Can I put him through twice? Because that ain't happening. Oh, fuck so.
Also, Jimmy, the bell hasn't rung.
So Jimmy Havoc took an absolute beating in this match. Of course he did, because he's Jimmy Havoc. There was one point where Lee and Riddle were arguing over who was going to put him through the table because they both want that point. And they end up fighting over it, and there's a big brawl between the three of them. And it turns out that Keith Lee ends up going through the table with what looked like a 3D from Matt Riddle and Jimmy Havoc to Keith Lee, which is really interesting. So they both got one fall off the bat. So it was 1-1-0. There was one point where Jimmy Havoc goes to the crowd and pulls out a piece of paper and starts giving Matt Riddle paper cuts in between his toes, which was very funny. The crowd ended up chanting, "You sick fuck," which is one of my favorite chants in all of wrestling. There was one point where Keith Lee tried to put Riddle and Havoc through a table at once and couldn't do it because the table didn't break. And then he put it in the ring to try to do it again, and the table didn't break. And then he tried to do it again, and the table didn't break. But Keith Lee does end up putting Matt Riddle through the table finally after 3 tries. And he grabs a mic and he asks Havoc if he set that table up to not break, so he could get the win, which was, I thought, was very funny. At one point, Keith Lee does put Matt Riddle through the table finally, and getting his first point. So everybody now has one fall. Thank goodness. Riddle's back must have felt like garbage though, because he took so much punishment. He got power bombed on. He got Jimmy Havoc power bombed onto him with the table not breaking, so there was just no give there, and he just took that all straight to his midsection. He got hit into the table, into the corner twice, and it didn't break. And then when it finally does break, it was another slam to his back. So Riddle's back is probably just like dust by now. That was rough. There was one point where Keith Lee finally sets up a table to try to get the finish. And he sets it up, and it falls over, and one side falls over. He sets it up again, the other side falls over. And he sets it up for a third time, and he actually bows to it to try to appease it, I guess, so the table doesn't fall on him this time. And I thought that was pretty funny. The tables were just not on Keith Lee's side in this match. if you watch it. It's kind of funny. However, the match does end when Riddle powerbombs Jimmy Havoc off the top rope through a table. Very Bubba Dudley-esque, and after the match, Keith Lee does go into that Bubba Ray-like trance. But instead of having a very angry face, Riddle is just, like, zoned out and just has, like, a big goofy smile on his face, and it's really funny. So, yeah, Riddle ends up winning this match, getting the first two tables. I gave this match 4 meatballs out of 5 just because it was just really fun. It was really fun to watch. It was really cool to watch Riddle, Keith Lee, and Jimmy Havoc all in action together, which are three, wildly different styles all in the same match. All in a tables match, too. Like, that was cool. So, yeah, I highly recommend you watch this match. It is free on YouTube. Just look up Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Jimmy Havoc tables match. And it is from Riptide Wrestling. Now, the next match coming up is another match from Riptide Wrestling, which I saw. The next match we have on our card is another match from Riptide Wrestling, which I saw, and I just absolutely could not avoid. I couldn't not watch this match. It was British Strong Style, which, if you don't know, is the team of Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne versus Candice LeRae, Colt Cabana, and Joey Ryan. This match was a comedy match through and through. It was just fun. It was funny. It was just fun to watch. It was entertaining, and I loved every minute of it. This is. I think comedy wrestling is very welcome. Personally, I know some people think Joey Ryan's penis is ruining wrestling, but I personally think comedy spots like this and comedy wrestling like this is 100% welcome, and I think it's just part of the whole gig. It's very, very entertaining for sure, and I always love a good comedy match. Why do you think I love Orange Cassidy so much? So, Joey Ryan and Tyler Bate start off this match for their respective teams, and Joey Ryan starts off the match in a way only Joey Ryan can.
Tyler, touch my dick.
So this match, it was just a bunch of funny comedy spots. Like, nobody would touch Joey Ryan's dick because they know of its power, obviously. Colt Cabana comes in the ring and yells at, I think it was Trent Seven.
Touch his dick! Touch his dick!
Colt Cabana grabs it, and Joey Ryan hurts him by accident, and it's because who can control that thing? It's incredible. This whole match is just so funny, so fun to watch. And there's actually some really good wrestling that happens during it here and there, which is nice to see because it's not all comedy. It's also some serious wrestling happens. Like there is one comedy spot where Colt Cabana starts leading Trent Seven around the outside of the ring by just spanking him over and over, which is funny. So I never watched Candice LeRae stuff outside of NXT, and she really tore the house down when she was in the ring. She was on fire. There was one point where she had Tyler Bate in a submission hold, like the Black Widow. I'm not sure of the technical name of that hold, but you know, like AJ Lee's Black Widow when she was in WWE. And Pete Dunne charges at her to break up the submission hold like a partner would do. And she spins it around. She spins out of it, gets Tyler Bate into a Hurricane Rana and tosses him into Pete Dunne for a spear. And Tyler Bate ends up spearing Pete Dunne, which was awesome to watch. That Candice LeRae was able to do that. There was one point where British Strong Style all made fun of Triple H because they said they needed to power up, so they all took a drink of water and spit it in the air like Triple H. and then all did a pedigree. And this match made me realize that I'm pretty sure Joey Ryan's dick is canonically stronger and more powerful than The Undertaker altogether because of just the things he can do with it. Watch this match and you'll see what I mean. It is on Riptide Wrestling's YouTube channel. You can find it for free, just like all of these matches I'm watching. Please look it up. It's 100% worth the watch. Super fun. Super great. In the end, Candice LeRae, Joey Ryan, and Colt Cabana get the win. And I gave this match four meatballs out of five. Just because it was fun, I enjoyed it so much, and I couldn't help but just be in love with wrestling at that point in time. It reminded me how after watching all these crazy serious matches that I've been watching recently, here like it's nice to have a little sprinkle of fun here and there, and that's what this match was. So, if you like fun wrestling, fun comedy wrestling, I highly suggest this match. And if you think Joey Ryan's penis is ruining wrestling, then don't watch this match. Whatever you feel like doing, I'm not here to judge. Next up, we have a match from TNT Extreme Wrestling. We have Pentagon Jr. versus Pac. And this match had a lot of potential to be super cool, because both of these competitors are great. And honestly, I wasn't really impressed. It was fine. The match was okay. I expected way more out of both of these two guys. There was nothing super exciting that happened. There was, like, a couple of big spots that were kind of cool. There was a couple of botched spots that kind of ruined it for me and took me out of it. It was a little bit sloppy, considering who both of these guys are and how amazing both of these guys are. The match was a little sloppy, and it took me out of it. This match I gave 2.5 meatballs. I didn't really like it that much. I thought it was fine. Like I said, it was meh. It was fine. It was a match, but there was botches here and there, and it was just sloppy wrestling altogether. And I expected way... Honestly, I expected way more from Pac and Pentagon Jr., considering what I've seen from them in other promotions. After that, we have another match. We have Matt Taven versus Roosh in Ring of Honor for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Death Before Dishonor. And this match was pretty cool. I've never seen either of these guys compete before I watched this match, and they were both, I liked them both. There were points though where I thought Roosh should have been the heel instead of Matt Taven. I guess because I don't really know them, but Roosh was doing way more crazy stuff that heels would do than Taven was. And Roosh was showing off a lot of the match, which was kind of a heel move, but hey, this match was cool. Roosh ended up using the barricade as a weapon at one point, which I thought was nuts. There was one point where they were fighting on the outside and the ref wasn't counting, and then other points in the match he was counting when they were on the outside, so it was, like, weird. But Roosh ends up winning after he kicks out of Taven's finisher and hits him with two bull's horns in the corner, and Roosh wins the ROH world title from Matt Taven. I gave this match 3 meatballs out of 5. It was good. I enjoyed both of these competitors. I don't know. Match didn't feel 5 meatballs to me. It was a good title match. I wanted a little more out of it though, I think. Next up, we have a match from AAA, another triple threat match. We have a AAA triple threat. That's pretty funny. We have Bandido versus Rey Fénix versus a Flamita. And this match was, if you like luchador wrestling, lucha style wrestling, this match is for you. This match was lucha 100%. This match was fast and it never stopped being fast. There was so many reversals, so many crazy spots. These guys were flying all over the place, going crazy. You guys could imagine how insane this match was. The momentum barely stops for a second and it just goes and goes and goes. And that makes me feel so bad. So bad for the AAA referees. They're doing great. They're doing their best. But they're a little up there in age. And they're not as quick as maybe they can be. They should be for a luchador referee match. But we all, there is that stigma in wrestling where it's like, ah, we got the lucha referees here, who do the slow counts, and they can't get down that fast. But I respect them for doing their job, and they're really great at it, and no hate here, only love for the AAA refs. Yeah, there was a point where they all super kick each other and knock each other down, and there was just nonstop action throughout this whole match. But in the end, Phoenix ends up taking it home. And I gave this match 4 meatballs out of 5 just because it was nonstop. Action, 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 and it was a great show of AAA and what Lucha Wrestling is. And I really respected that. So I gave it 4 meatballs out of 5. Go watch this match for sure. Next up is another match from Ring of Honor, and it is from Supercard of Honor 8. It is a 2 out of 3 falls match for the Ring of Honor TV title, and it is between Tommaso Ciampa and Jay Lethal. This match was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. For a 2 out of 3 falls match, I expected much more. There was a little bit of a botch on one of the moves a little later in the match, but that's fine. Sometimes stuff happens. It did take away from the match a little bit because it was kind of a big move that needed to happen, and the botch on it really hurt it. But we'll get to that. So before this match even starts, we have Tommaso Ciampa coming up with his knee brace because we all know of his past knee injuries. And as this match starts, he takes off his knee brace that he's wearing, and he hands it to Lethal, who throws it out of the ring, and Tommaso Ciampa wrestles the whole match without his knee brace on. That was super cool. There was definitely a point where Ciampa, Lethal with a knee, and they knock him into the front row, and he falls into the front row, which was cool. Jay Lethal ends up getting the first fall in this match. There was a point where they stole each other's finishers, which was neat. Jay Lethal does end up winning this match, however, when someone interferes and hands him the knee brace to hit Tommaso Ciampa with and set him up for the Lethal Injection. And Jay Lethal ends up winning the match and becoming the new Ring of Honor TV champion. I gave this match 3 meatballs out of 5 because I expect a little more out of this 2 out of 3 falls match. Tommaso Ciampa didn't even get a fall, which was weird because they were hyping up this whole time how much he worked for it, how much he cared about that Ring of Honor TV title. So it was weird that they didn't even let him get a single fall in the match to tell that story. It kind of felt a little weird that he lost so quickly, but that's how it is. So I gave it 3 meatballs out of 5. And for our last match today, we have another match from AAA. We have Laredo Kid versus Sammy Guevara for the AAA Cruiserweight title. This match was just like the other AAA match. It was fast, and it never stopped being fast. There was a big moonsault by Laredo Kid. There was a standing moonsault into a standing shooting star by Sammy Guevara. There's crazy moves throughout this whole match. The 450 outside by Laredo. There's interferences left and right. Sammy Guevara's Avalanche Spanish Fly is super sick. and I like the move a lot. And Laredo Kid ends up winning with his own variant of the Spanish Fly off of the top rope. Laredo Kid ends up taking it home and beating Sammy Guevara for the AAA Cruiserweight title. And I gave this match 4 meatballs out of 5. It was really fun. It was really cool. It was nonstop action. And I highly recommend you watch it. Sammy Guevara is great. Laredo Kid's great. Everyone in this match is just great and involved, and it was really cool to watch. So definitely watch that. That about wraps it up, everyone. Thank you again for joining me on another lap on my race through the independent scene. Please remember to recommend your matches to @HitTheBooksPod on Twitter using the hashtag HTB500. Any independent match from any time. AEW, WWE, and New Japan are all banned, so please don't suggest matches, because those I don't really count as independent. But anywhere else, any superstars from those brands are okay. As you can see, I just had a Tommaso Ciampa match, I had a Sammy Guevara match, and a Ricochet match. So as long as it's not those three brands, it could be from any time, anywhere, I don't care. I just want to watch more wrestling. So please send in your suggestions to me. Like I said, at HitTheBooksPod with the hashtag HDB500. And thank you all again for joining me on my race through the Indies. See ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.